This is another podcast for O'Reilly Radar. It's Alex Howard, Government 2.0 Washington correspondent for O'Reilly. Earlier this month, I talked to John L. Sheridan, a civil servant over in Britain, about a new website, legislation.gov.uk, which uses open-linked data around the legislative materials of the United Kingdom. He is an advocate for the so-called semantic web and took some time out of his busy day to talk about the site and open government in Britain. Hope you enjoy the interview.
I'm head of e-services and strategy at the National Archives, and we have a leading role in a number of the UK government's information-related initiatives, in particular working very closely with our colleagues in the Cabinet Office who are leading on the government's transparency agenda, which is very focused on making lots more government data available, particularly through data.gov.uk. And this tracks very closely with some of the policy work that's been happening in the United States as well, with the Obama administration's similar push on government transparency and data.gov. I lead on the linked data parts of data.gov.uk, and I've been working with Semantic Web Technologies for just a little bit over 5 years, so quite a long time. With the legislation service, what we were aiming to do is take two existing services that the UK government had for providing public access to this primary source of legislation material, to pull them together to basically deliver a more efficient service offering, but also to really expose the statute book as data, partly with a view to exposing it as linked data for a kind of semantic web type view, but also exposing it for developers who are not necessarily familiar or used to using linked data standards and technologies, delivering a much more traditional RESTful API that allows developers to really get their hands on the statute book and start to create some interesting applications with it.
So the folks here in D.C. had the interesting opportunity, along with anyone who tuned into the live stream, to see Tim Berners-Lee talk about linked open data in the context of a bag of crisps, or chips, as they call them over here. And that was an interesting metaphor. More recently, I met Greg Elin, FCC's new data officer, who talked about linked open data as a means to connect or link databases to databases. When you do that in the context of legislation, what kinds of opportunities does it give citizens and legislators?
Okay, so the kinds of things that linked data makes possible are they sort of the things that people tend to think of, oh, wouldn't it be great if only we could, but that feels really hard to do at the moment. So to give you an example, at the moment, we have a tier of local government in the UK, our local councils, which would be equivalent to counties in the US, the national government gives them either powers or duties under legislation that they have to do certain things, you know, like scrape up dead animals off the road, whatever it might be that they have to go and do, provide some education services and so on. So they've got all these powers and duties in legislation. And they then spend money, and under the new transparency initiative, they're having to publish how they're spending their money on a kind of item-by-item level. And they're saying what service they're spending their money on. So what linked data allows you to do is know which power or duty in legislation would I need to amend or change or repeal that takes away this service obligation, that saves me this money that's currently being paid in this local council area to these people. Hmm. Right? And you can see that all of that data's there, but unless you have some way of connecting it through, and that's what linked data allows us to do, then you just can't build those kinds of applications easily or quickly. You can't say, so which bits of the statute book do I need to change in order to save that money over there? And those are the sorts of applications that we're interested in trying to get at. And what's fascinating about where we are now is we're kind of halfway there to being able to do that kind of stuff with the work that we've done with legislation.gov.uk. There's been some work linking the statute book to powers and duties that are on local authorities, which has not been done by my team. It's been done by some people who've come very much from the local government world. And they've linked that to their descriptions of services, and that's now being looked at in terms of linking that with how local authorities publish their financial information on a transaction-by-transaction basis. And these are the sorts of things. It's kind of uber-transparency, ultra-transparency that you get when you can start to connect different pieces of data from different sources.
And one of the things that you alluded to earlier was an API, the application program interface, if someone's not technical, which is the kind of platform strategy that has been useful for internet companies that want to be able to have people build out from their data streams. And in terms of the future of this site, it seems like there is an opportunity for bloggers, journalists, media organizations, watchdogs, etc., to be able to pull out the kind of legislation that's being discussed and then mark it up and link it in other contexts. Maybe make up mashups, maybe do a number of things that will help with accountability. What are some of the innovations that you've seen in the UK? I know it's early days for this site, that lead you to believe that will be valuable, or that you've seen elsewhere in the UK or around the world that shows the strength of that API-based approach?
So we're very much at the beginning of this with legislation. We've seen a few people already beginning to use the API. So connecting legislation to powers and duties, connecting that to service lists, connecting that to how local authorities spending money is one good example. Another example would be we've had an educational publisher who is using the API basically because they're not a legal publisher, they're operating in a different environment. They're using the API to be able to enrich some of their publications that they that they're creating. For people who are beginning to study the law, perhaps not at the graduate level, but at school level. And they've just found it very easy to be able to take the data and pull it across so they can use it in their own publications. So some of those things are the sorts of uses that you would expect. And I think the sort of thing that we're hoping for as time moves on is people start to basically treat the statute book as an external resource that's available to them, you know, almost like as a public utility, and that when they want to get hold of a official statement of what a particular part of the statute book says, then that's just something that they can pull off from the web and also know something about its status, whether or not that particular statute is still in force or whether it's been changed, and if it has been changed, what it's been changed to. So some of those sorts of applications are very straightforward. It then kind of moves into almost as far as you want to go, as we move increasingly into the kind of realm of accountable systems. So these are systems that are built that show compliance with statutory obligations as part of machine-readable audit trails. And you can imagine that in banking and finance. You can imagine that in information sharing. And that's going to be one of the big stories potentially of the next 10 years, is going to be the morphing, the changing of statutory information into things that computers can automatically process. And that particular types of transaction are shown to be complying with legal requirements, and in particular with statutory requirements. And again, it's so useful to have just on the web available to you your statute book as a resource that you can plug into and use.
I think we're both familiar with Carl Malamud, who has been at the forefront of a number of open government movements here in Washington, certainly around the country too. And he's basically made the contention that the primary legal materials of the U.S. are essentially America's operating system. So that that the code that's enacted, the statutes that are enacted, are in many ways the kind, like the code that animates a machine, and that by making statutes more machine readable, by making them linkable, by making them available via an API, there's an opportunity to create the same kind of innovation around understanding them that may be seen in parts of the private sector. Are you familiar with law.gov? What was the backstory behind the new legislation, .gov.uk?
We've been working on some of these things for a long time, but I have to say that Karl Malamud's observation that your legal system is your country's operating system, which I think is terrifically profound, has been an amazing inspiration for us. I think he nails it. I think he absolutely nails it. In the era of the web and what the web can do, then that's exactly the right way of thinking about what this corpus of documents is. And it's really important not just to think of this as a corpus of documents, but also to think of statutes in terms of data, and to think of them in terms of reusable data, and to think of them in terms of how they can be made available for people to be able to get machines to do important and useful things with them, as well as represent them, as well as make them available to citizens as a matter of right, so that they can understand and engage with primary sources of legal information. They can understand their rights and so on. So the energy that there's been in the US around law.gov, I think, has been phenomenal, and I think the principles are exactly the right ones. And that's very much, for us, it's been something of an inspiration, albeit that we've been plugging away at some of the harder technology issues in terms of how we deliver this for 2-3 years. So, there's a long backstory in terms of what we've been trying to do. And the other thing which is worth saying is that actually legislation is really difficult stuff to manage as data. It's not easy, because you need to figure out exactly what you're interested in terms of coping with it as data. So are you interested in coping with it purely from the basis of like typographic layout, so that you structure your data exactly as the document looks on the printed page? Or are you interested in it in terms of understanding how the legislation has changed over time? So, with this section inserted and that section taken out, these words changed. Or are you interested in it on the basis of semantics, what the statute actually says, what duties, for example, are being placed on individuals or organizations? And the data standards you use for each of those things can be a bit different. And somewhere along the line, you have to plump and make a decision about what you're going to go with. Carl's work has been a huge inspiration. There's some very interesting work that's being done in Kansas at the moment, which again I'm aware of peripherally, and I think it's another one of these areas where people are looking at this stuff globally and trying to take a step forward, in this case with how we make available primary sources of legal information, statutory information, and how that can be exploited. And there's some really interesting stuff happening in the US in that regard. With legislation.gov.uk, we've tried to do something big at scale, to do something that's state of the art, and to do something that really raises people's sights to what's now possible.
When you look at the technologies that you used to build this, there's certainly good coders there, so I would imagine you've been documenting as you go. How transferable is the infrastructure, knowledge, learning, et cetera, that you've used to build the site to other countries if they were interested in following in your footsteps?
So we've had a few fixations, and I'm very involved with the World Wide Web Consortium. I co-chair the W3C's e-government interest group. So obviously, I have a very strong focus on the use of open standards for doing this. And so what we've tried to do is to create a system where the data is held entirely using open standards, particularly held in XML, and the application logic is created using open standards. So we've used XQuery and XSLT's particular technologies we've used, so that both the data is portable and the application logic is portable, and that was one of our big ambitions. One of the reasons we wanted to do that is that down the line we can then publish a machine-readable audit trail for how this legislation on the web got to be there. You know, what document was sent to us by Parliament for us to put on the website, and how did that document get interacted with for it to be turned into a flashy-looking web page? And how does that relate to the data that I'm pulling out from the API? And we're very keen on machine-readable provenance so that people can make an assessment about how much they're prepared to trust the information that they are interacting with by understanding how it came to be on the web. We think that's very important in terms of official publishing. But intrinsically, our approach has been straight down the line to use open standard technology, both in terms of structuring the data and in terms of developing the application logic. And we've learned an awful lot just going through that kind of process. We've been helped by some terrific developers. One of the developers who's done a lot of work on this is a woman called Jenny Tennyson, who writes also a brilliant blog about some of her work. And again, that's really helped to have some people who know what they're doing. But the lessons and some of the approaches, we're using quite a lot of open source tools as well. They're all stuff that people could pick up and use.
There's lots to go over there. I know that there was a great blog post that you directed me to on the data.gov.uk blog, which you can get to if you're listening at that address, data.gov.uk/blog, and then legislation.gov.uk-API. And if someone is interested in finding the blog you just referenced, do you have that address handy?
JENITENNISON, JennyTennyson.com/blog, I think.
Okay. Brilliant. And I appreciate you taking the time this morning to talk over, or I suppose it would be this afternoon where you are, to talk over the issues around the site, and I look forward to hearing more about the services or applications or innovation that comes out of the API.
It's going to be really fascinating to see, and for anyone who's interested in this kind of intersection between transparency, statutory or legal information, and the web and the web of data, I think we're entering very, very interesting times, not just now, but for the next 5 or 10 years, I think we're really entering a new era.
The more that we can parse through the data in new browsers, in new mashups, in new applications, in ways that allow people to understand more about what their government is doing, the more potential there is to arrive at a better model of governance, I think. That's my current thinking, but we have to see whether that actually evolves in any kind of emergent manner.
And how this impacts on our legal systems as well are going to be very, very interesting. And the work of lawyers and the citizens' interaction with the legal system and the citizens' interaction with their government. And basically, governments are like a machine for making legislation. It's their primary mechanism of control. So this stuff as data is just so important.
Well, again, John, thank you for your time this morning, and I definitely look forward to continuing the conversation online.
Brilliant.
Take care.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Okay, Angie.